years for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." All of us, at some time in our lives, pass through difficult periods when we bear a heavy burden. Bereavement, sickness, loss of livelihood, financial crisis, family difficulties, personal problems, broken relationships, a job that has become burdensome. Unanticipated heavy responsibilities fall upon us. Anything that weighs heavily upon our shoulders and creates difficulty for us day by day. And I'm sure that as I speak of burdens, every one of us in some form or another can relate to that truth. And the question I want to put to you this morning is a very basic one. Is there some way that we can learn to bear our burdens so that we emerge stronger and better from them? Can we be certain that God can enable us to carry a heavy burden if one is placed upon our shoulders? Jesus, of course, offers us a way to bear heavy burdens. You recall that marvelous invitation that's recorded in the 11th chapter of Matthew. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's a remarkable statement by Jesus. For indeed he carried heavy burdens, but he had a yoke, a way that made his burdens lighter. And in fact, he said, not only did they become lighter, but there was rest in the process. Consider the very important implications of that fact. The yoke, of course, is a device by which we carry things. And in arid countries, where often water has to be gathered from a distance, people would go with two pails, with a yoke across their shoulders, and by that means, they would carry it back. And I can relate to that as a boy. We had a lovely home in the Laurentian Mountains that we spent our summers in. And before my dad was able to dig a well or have a well dug on the property, we went to a village well, or rather a community well, that was some distance. And my dad fashioned for me a yoke, and I would carry two pails. And they were far lighter to carry with the yoke than would otherwise be the case. And in dealing with our burdens, Jesus did not promise to take those burdens away, but he said he could make them lighter. Now we do sing the psalm, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary." Burdens such as sin and guilt and shame. But some burdens we are called upon to carry. And the Lord promises to help us to carry them so that the burden will not weary us or defeat us. Let me read those words again. of our Lord. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus had the heaviest burden of all, but he claimed it was right, was light. The reason was because he had learned to carry it. His secret was profound, but very simple. He was gentle and humble in heart, and fully submissive to the Father. In other words, he offered up his burden to the Father and depended on the Father for the strength and grace he needed. His yoke was his dependence upon his Father. His faith in his Father is what sustained him. And it is our faith in our Father that will sustain us. The faith he kept, kept him. And the faith we keep will keep us. The result is a rest in one's soul, inner peace and acceptance. Now, I have learned that in a very profound way in the last few months. I began my ministry in 1957 as a student pastor. I've been at it for 55 years. And I have experienced a lot of life, engaged with people in a lot of circumstances. But there are some things you can only understand by experiencing them personally. A few months ago, I lost my beloved Gail in a tragic accident. Totally unexpected. Devastating. But I can testify to peace in my soul because I've given it all to him. And the lessons of this woman in the second chapter of Kings hold out for me a wonderful lesson. The story of the widow in 2 Kings provides us with a wonderful example of how to bear heavy burdens. I want to read that passage again. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said to her, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went out and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Now, if ever a woman had a burden to bear, it was her. She was bereaved, a widow. She was not an old person. Her two sons were still at home with her. She had them to care for, but she had no means. She was penniless. All she possessed was a little pot of oil. She had no other resources to call upon, no social safety net, no social security. She was in debt. That was her husband's unfortunate legacy. Her creditor was threatening her. The only assets to be liquidated were her two sons that could be sold into slavery in order that the debt be repaid. She could easily have sat in the ashes with Job and felt quite at home. Or, like Shakespeare's Hamlet, she could have railed out against the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, but she didn't. The glory of the woman's story is that she learned how to bear her burden well. She learned to bear the burden with the Lord's yoke, and as a result, the burden not only became light, it became a blessing. What this burden-bearing woman did is what the Lord would have us do as we learn to bear our burdens. There are four things I want you to note from this story. The first one was that she was hopeful. She went to Elisha the prophet hoping he could help. She didn't give up. She felt there was hope somewhere. She was willing to do anything to alleviate her circumstances. And hope, of course, is one of the most potent weapons when faced with difficult circumstances. The worst problem is not having a problem. The worst problem is having a problem and having no hope. When Winston Churchill was an old man, he returned to Harrow, the boyhood school where he had been educated as a youngster, and he returned there for the last time. Over the years, periodically, Churchill would go to Harrow, and he loved to talk to the student body. And on this last occasion, the last time he spoke to them, he gave the shortest speech in his long and distinguished career. Churchill stood before the assembly of eager and attentive students. This is what he said to them. Never, 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 never give up. And then he sat down. It was another way of saying, never give up hope. Never lose hope. The problem may be great. Don't make it impossible by giving up hope. It was with a message of hope that Churchill rallied the people of Britain during those ominous years, 1940 and 41, when the Nazi enemy seemed poised to cross the English Channel and invade Britain. Hope needs to be the indomitable rallying point when we are inclined to give up and say, all hope is gone. We need to counter that with the words of Paul when, in writing to the Romans, he said, we are saved by hope. How indispensable hope is when facing life's difficulties. How valuable hope is when bearing heavy burdens. Without that hope, we will easily scuttle any possibility of victory or deliverance. How important is resilient hope that God will show us the way and see us through. Paul was right. We're saved by hope. I'm sure you're familiar with the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It was written by a young man named Joseph Scriven. The day before he was to be married, his fiancée suddenly died. And as you can well imagine, the whole family was plunged into deep despair, both Scriven's family and the bride's family. And seeking somehow to infuse the grieving families with hope, Scriven wrote the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Hope was the important beginning element for the Scriven family in the midst of that terrible tragedy. How important hope was to that widow. However difficult her circumstances, however heavy her burden, she did not give up hope that the Lord would help her. I wonder if any of you are going through a difficult patch and you've given up hope. Do you have enough hope to take your burden to the Lord in prayer? That is the hope that each of us needs in bearing heavy burdens, a hope that compels us to give it to the Lord in prayer. Note secondly, the widow is not only hopeful, she was also faithful. Faith, as we well know, is the proper outcome of hope. As the writer of the Hebrews declared, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope begets faith. I hope for a solution to a problem, and out of that hope I turn to the Lord in faith. It was that faith that followed the widow's hope. Faithfulness was so vital to the widow's survival, and it was no small amount of faith that she needed to exercise. Elisha the prophet had given her an incredible set of instructions, enough to test anyone's credulity. He told her to gather all the pots that were available in the town. They were to gather, go to all other people, and gather not a few. Now I have, for the first time in my life, been discovering what Gail had in the kitchen. I knew how to make toast, not much else. Well, we have a lot of pots in our home. And she was to gather all she could from the village. Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars or empty pots. It goes on to say, don't ask for just a few. I want them all. She was then to pour oil into all these jars from the little half-filled pot of oil which she had. The instructions seemed incredible, impossible. Can you imagine how mystified the townspeople must have been when they responded to the requests of her two boys for all the pots they had in their house? But she faithfully carried out the instructions. She and her two sons scoured the community until they had every available pot. The situation, the scene, staggers the imagination. But if the woman had refused in responsible faithfulness, there would have been no solution to her problems. We likewise must learn to take Jesus at his word when we bear heavy burdens. He says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Do things my way. Learn to depend upon me as I have learned to depend on our Heavenly Father. Be faithful by claiming his promises. By clinging to his promises. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. What promises we have, indeed, to stand upon and to live by. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we turn to the Lord with our burdens, and He speaks to us through His words, He almost invariably will bring to our remembrance some of His promises. Do you know the promises? Do you believe the promises? Do you claim the promises? Do you stand on the promises? If you are faithful to the promises of God that you learn to effectively lean upon, it will help immeasurably in bearing a heavy burden. Above all else, beware of the trap of modernity, the devious ploy of our self-sufficient age. The modern approach says it's all too simplistic, too unsophisticated to rely upon what the Bible says because it's too old-fashioned and unscientific. It is at this very point that our faithfulness to God's Word must play its crucial role. There's nothing more wonderful in a mature person's faith than a childlike attitude. Karl Barth, the great 20th century theologian, was once asked if he could sum up the Christian faith in a simple sentence. There was an immense capacity in that brilliant man's intellect, but he had a childlike faith. He said, "Yes, I can sum it up. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It doesn't matter how intellectually keen you are, there comes a point in our faith when we need a childlike faith that will trust implicitly, irrevocably, indispensably, in the simple Word of God captured in His wonderful promises. Faithfulness. It was the key to that woman. She needed to believe in what she was told just as much as we need to be told, believe in what the Lord has told us in His wonderful promises. Note thirdly, the woman was not only hopeful, the woman was not only faithful, the woman was also resourceful. She did not sit back and expect Elisha to solve her problems. She was willing to use what resources she had. She sent her two sons out into the community to gather the pots. And then she committed the little which she had to the project. All she had was a little oil, but she was willing to commit it. Her very willingness to use what resources she had was no doubt the supreme test of her faith. What would a little pot do in the midst of so many other pots? But she committed all she had to the venture and trusted God for the rest. Her actions made sense of the old adage, "God helps those who help themselves." Or as another one has put it, we must work as everything depends upon us and trust God as if everything depends upon Him. Paul talked of this in Philippians chapter 2. He said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You work it out as God is working in you. That's what the woman did. Because of that, she was able to bear her heavy burden, and so can you. Note fourthly, the woman was not only hopeful and faithful and resourceful, she was also reposeful. It's a lovely English word we don't hear much of, but it means to simply relax in the set of circumstances in which one finds oneself. She was content to fill one pot at a time. No doubt her faith was taxed more after she had begun than before. Gathering all of those pots into that house and then with her one little pot beginning to address all the other pots. Her secret was she did it one pot at a time. She took her repose in that simple fact. Using what she had, God multiplied it as she used it. If she had concentrated upon them all, she probably would never have begun filling the first one. What's the point when there is so much that lies ahead? But she filled one pot at a time, and she took her repose in that one simple fact. The lesson for us is very simple. When carrying heavy burdens, we must learn to carry them one day at a time. You look at the future and you say, how can I ever face it? Because you see, as the saying goes, no light at the end of a long, long tunnel. But that's not where we are to put our efforts. It is to do so one day at a time. One is reminded of the experience of John Henry Newman, the great divine of yesteryear. He had been in Rome and was longing to return to his beloved home in England, but his return had been long delayed by a serious illness. When finally he set sail for home, his ship was becalmed and lost in a dense fog that seemed relentless and unending. And those circumstances seemed symbolic of his life, in which he had been spiritually becalmed and seemed only able to grope his way. And so one evening, out on the deck of the becalmed ship, peering into the midst, feeling despondent and dejected, he had turned to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord seemed to say, Newman, just one day at a time. Just one step at a time, and leave the rest to me. Deeply moved by that simple challenge, John Henry Newman went below decks to his cabin and wrote the beautiful hymn, Lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark, and I am far from home, lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step enough for me. That is the lesson Jesus taught. In bearing heavy burdens, be reposeful. Learn to live one day at a time. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The widow gained the victory because she was reposeful. In the end, her resources were more than sufficient. But she began the long exercise, one pot at a time. And that's the way we learn to carry our burdens. One day at a time. Heavy burdens. We all bear them from time to time. With the Lord's help, we can learn to bear our heavy burdens by wearing the yoke of Christ, doing what he did when he bore his burdens by giving it completely to the Lord and trusting him. In our total dependence on the Father, he will make our burden light, and we will find rest and peace in our souls. In practical terms, it means to be hopeful. Never give up hope. Through the Lord, we'll find an answer. Be faithful, standing on the promises of God, clinging to them. Be resourceful. Put your whole being into doing your part. And be reposeful. Learn to live and face one day at a time. And as you follow the widow's example, and as you learn to wear Christ's yoke of dependence upon the Father, the burden you bear will become lighter, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, I know that to be true because of the Scriptures. But I also know it to be true because I'm living it out day by day. And you can as well if you are bearing a heavy burden. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your loving grace and goodness. We thank you that your word is so practical for daily living, and for any here today who may have a burden to bear, may these simple words be an encouragement to them. I pray this in the Savior's name. Amen. I've asked if we might sing the closing hymn, He Hideth My Soul.